Welcome to the Shut Up and Ride podcast. Slightly different one this week. Not going to lie, slightly scared because the boys were left to their own devices and allowed to record on their own. Don't worry, I have edited. But yeah, stay tuned because we have the brilliant Nina Barber joining us. I very much enjoyed her. What's annoyed her? She properly gets involved into the podcast vibes. And Ben and Simon, they get quite a lot of, we've got a lot about Ben this week, about his training and stuff. They're also incredibly nice about me, which is slightly scary. I don't know what they want. So do stay tuned for Nina Barber, who is the founder of Bowlsworth. She's also doing some crazy stuff like training for the Magnolia Cup. And yeah, you will not believe how long the woman can plank for. She's insane. Anyway, it's brilliant. Lots of chat and, of course, a few controversial topics thrown in. I hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome back to Shut Up and Ride. Today we have been left unattended. I'm here with Simon.
Hello team. We just need to mention straight away before we get in trouble with Jenny and with them, with Charles, mentioning Charles Owen, who sponsored the pod and who are absolutely amazing and been incredible. So we don't have Jenny because Jenny is... she's commentating, isn't she? She's got a really big gig commentating, which she's... slightly scared about. We've just had comms with her and she seems very nervous about the thing, but she's gonna be great. She's really good at that kind of stuff. She's great at chatting.
I think she's too hard on herself. I really, yes. Really do. But then I think that's what makes her so brilliant at what she does.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's a little bit the same, like, with anything. You know, like, it worries me, say, if we're at performance and the trick riders are a bit blasé. Yeah. Before they go in. And I'm like, no. This is when, you know, this is where stuff goes wrong if you switch off. So I think a bit of nerves is not a bad thing. And I think she's going to be.
It's a really important thing. And actually, I don't know what you think, but I think Jenny's she's a really talented person in lots of ways, not just in what she's doing. Like we don't want to be too nice because she's going to listen to this back and then because she's wanting us to say unpleasant things. But actually, she's an incredibly talented person.
I think the word I would use is capable.
Yes, that's a very good word.
It doesn't really matter. Like, there's been so many instances I've had so far in my life where Jenny, like, you'll kind of be having a conversation with her. I remember, like, I rang her one day randomly about something ridiculous. And then I had my own series on Horse and Country that came out the other side of that phone call because Jenny was like, no, wait, we should make this happen. Oh, that was it. I rang Jenny and was like, I really want to expand my knowledge. I'd like some lessons with some like big riders. Is there any chance you could help me with your contacts? And she was like, leave that with me. And then she called me back the next day and is like, we're making a TV show. It's called Lights, Camera, Atkinson. I've got you the lessons with the people you wanted. Let's go. And then like the same with this podcast, with the pub pod, with the next event that we're organising. She is the woman that can.
Yeah. And, like, and with Horse and Country, like the programmes that we've done, well, actually before that, I've rung her up and I was like, oh, Jenny, I've got an idea that we could maybe do as a programme. And more often than not, she goes, no, I've done that before. But what we could do is that we could do this, same similar idea, but we'll do it like this and then that and the other. And then she comes out, like, literally she's thinking on her feet. She just comes out with these amazing ideas that end up being really, really successful. Like the Shut Up and... Not Shut Up and Ride, that's us.
that's what we're doing now.
What was it called? Oh, Swipe Up, Kick On. That was it.
Like,
I mean, she was brilliant with that. She, like, jumped on that stretch. She knew it was going to be a success because she's really good like that. Like I say, she doubts herself all the time, and I wish she wouldn't. But that's also what makes her, like you said, that's what makes her so great.
And I wonder if people realise how many, like, you know, shows and bits of content and stuff like that, Jenny's often involved, even when you don't see her on camera.
Oh yeah, loads. Yeah. She comes up with so many ideas, and she's very good at kind of. You kind of would think that she likes to be like centre of attention, but actually. Lots of times she wants to, like, she was great with me, the Horse and Country stuff. She was really good at pushing me forward and, you know, giving me opportunities that maybe she should have had. She's a thoroughly good egg.
She's the friend who's going to defend you in the room when you're not there.
Exactly.
That's the sort of friend you need.
Shall we rule about her now?
Yeah, but first we have to say, like, guys, I'm sure Jenny will have absolutely smashed the job she's on by the time that you listen to this. But yeah, we want to send her a massive good luck, even though she doesn't need it, because she's going to be fantastic.
Good luck, Jenny. So, so what about Miss Ben? You've hardly got any hair. You're looking very, very sharp.
Yeah, I have been clipped for summer. I get about two or three haircuts a year. I cut it brutally short, and then can't fit going to the barbers in for the rest of the year, and it grows out, and then I get clipped again.
So this time of year is like this is your busiest time.
Yeah, like so. We had a bit of a day off yesterday and then I've been doing a big photo shoot today. It's a lot of traveling. I have to say, so the reason I take my own horses to my clinics is because Liberty's such a niche thing. It's becoming less niche, but the chances that somebody has worked an experienced, well-trained Liberty horse or has really been near one that close up personal in the flesh is very, very low.
Sorry to interrupt. So like, I have a question with this. So with Liberty training, is there, like, with classic, you know, is it classical riding, like, everyone does the same things, or everyone's aiming for the same things, like the same aids, the same, everything is kind of the same. So, like, you can hop on a horse and you expect that they're going to have the same aids that you're used to, kind of thing. Yeah. Is that the same with Liberty? Are you trying to do the same thing as everybody else, or do you have your own ways of doing stuff?
I very definitely have my own way of doing stuff, because I never really had a teacher.
So if somebody came in and tried to work your horses in like a standard way, would they struggle?
Yes and no. Because what I was going to say is, I think it's, and I would be interested to know if you'd say this is similar sort of with what you do. There isn't a great amount of difference, you know, within reason, at the very, very beginning of the training or at the very top.
Yeah, but in between.
But this is the in-between bit where everybody has their own sort of way. Do you know, like when a horse is made, part of the reason, like one of my things I would say is graduates a horse from being like a horse that's in training or one that's up and coming to one that's made, is that within reason, anybody should be able to work it with the right guidance. You know, like, and I know that's the reason I say within reason, of course, you know, some certain horses are such high energy or high, you know, they've got so much fire in them that it would be irresponsible to let a novice, you know, work them on their own or even ride them. But one thing that's actually quite beautiful about the Liberty work is that because it's not ridden work, when things go wrong, the horses just leave or they stop. So it's, do you know what I mean? You can offer people that little bit of extra, like they can play with the experienced horses that are a bit hotter, but that are trained up and they can't push the wrong aids and get bolted with or wobble off. You know, if it goes wrong, the horse will either ground to a halt or it'll trot off in the other direction. And I think it's just really, really good for people, like for the students, to feel what it feels like in the end. Like, this is actually what we're aiming for, or this is the exercise that I was trying to work through with you. Because I think people forget that in, like, even if you know you can't do it, it's very easy to go onto Google or YouTube and find a video of Lottie Fry doing a half pass. If you're trying to learn half pass for the first time on your, you know, on your pony. But you can find lots of videos in it, or there are, you know, there are hours and hours of content to watch people show jumping or doing cross country. Whereas the Liberty, it's a lot more niche, especially in a training environment. And so it's like, sometimes it's just getting people to see the exercise or feel the exercise that we're trying to work to. And the thing that's really interesting is a horse is a horse all the way through. So like at the last clinic I did, a lot of the students, I was working on this idea of, like, yeah, stage one of Liberty is, can I get the horse to stay with me when it's loose? But then as you progress past that, it's like, well, cool, I'd like a mild inside flexion on the circle. And I'd like the horse to step deeper under with the inside hind leg. And we want to start and get a bit of a bend in the center of the rib cage so that, you know, so the withers don't tilt when we're in on the circle. And so the horse is holding themselves. So often you'll find you're explaining it to someone and they're like, oh, so it's like riding shoulder four. And you're like, yeah. Yeah. Just on the ground, you know, it's that same, because a horse is a horse. The exercises that make a horse stronger and more gymnastic, you know, it's a horse has to move its body in the same way to achieve those things.
Yeah.
And it's so we just have our own way of giving those signals from the position that the trainer's in, being on the floor, opposed to the trainer being on the back.
So tell me, like, with your with these, you're doing loads of shows, and you're doing clinics as well. Are you doing? Are all the shows that you're doing, are they the same, or are you doing doing fresh ones each show?
So there, I've got two performances out within reason this year. So there's the performances that are just me and my wife George, and that's just all Roman riding, which is where I'm standing on the horses. The Liberty, where I've got all the horses loose, and George riding the classical dressage. Yeah. And then we have a bigger version of that show that we sell, where we have all the Cossack trick riders and stuff come with us. Cossack trick riders, in that our trick riders train in a Cossack style, not that, you know, they're English, British riders.
What does that mean?
So in American style of trick riding, it's a lot looser. I guess you could even say, and I could get some flack here, but a bit different between how you'd watch, say, a Western dressage test and the sort of dressage test you would ride.
Yeah.
You know, it's the horses move in a different way, and they're a bit more relaxed about certain aspects of posture. And that's a bit the same in the American trick riding. The American trick riding is more about the horses going really, really fast, and they go with a bit, you know, legs a bit more bent, and it's more about the thrill of the speed and the danger of it. Yeah. Whereas in the Cossack style, or like the I guess you could say there's a more modern French European sort of style from that, it's about being balletic. So, you know, like a ballerina, like really straight legs, pointed toes. There's a kind of purity. I'm Cossack trained, so I'm going to have a bit of a bias. But there's like a bit more of a purity to it, in that, you know, you could do whatever trick, a handstand on a horse, or, you know, hang off in a wing where you're hanging off the side.
But, I mean, that sounds pretty difficult to me, but yeah, carry on.
Yeah, and like that is still really difficult. But then if we saw someone do that and they had their bend in their knee, or their toes weren't pointed, then
and
it's
that's
like...
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's like your dressage position.
You let yourself down.
Yeah, do you know what? And I'm naming no names, but sometimes you'll see, like, when you're watching those big competitions, and you'll see someone get a beautiful, like, Grand Prix dressage test out of a horse, but they ride in a bit of an unconventional manner. And you're kind of like, oh, I love how the horse is going, but the rider looks odd to me. Yeah. And it's that same sort of thing. Yeah, I managed that. I should be a politician. That was beautifully diplomatic.
But this is reminding me a little bit of Strictly Come Dancing, because like when I watched that and I'm like, wow, that looks amazing. And then the judges are like, oh, well, you know, you should have had more angle with this, and you weren't like... Yeah, you had a straight knee, or you didn't have a straight knee, or whatever it may be. And I'm like, but it looked amazing to me. But it's the same for you with this. Like, it all looks, to me, it would look absolutely amazing and really kind of scary as you're galloping along, like doing hands down on a horse. But you're like, well, they've got a bend in the knee.
And this is, but then this comes from two ways, because there's one side of it is that there's trick riding for the public, and there's trick riding for other trick riders. And I don't know if you get that, like, in your sport as well, but there are certain tricks or things that riders will do in a show, and the public still cheer, but they don't get it. Whereas you'll see the trick riders, the other trick riders watching that person do it, and they're losing their minds.
Because they've know done that it it's, so well.
They've done it so well, or it's so technically insane. You're like, why would you even try and do that to yourself?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it makes it safer, and it gives you more power. So if you imagine when you, like, forsake something like a vault, when you vault off the horse, like, a big mistake people make is that they jump off the floor, when actually what you want to do is keep your legs as straight as possible. And the idea is that when your toes touch the floor, you'll want your feet to sort of be parallel with the horse's muzzle, or where the curb chain would be. And then, because your feet are so far forward, as the horse keeps traveling forward, the speed of the horse traveling forward sort of spins you like a fulcrum, and that's what flips you up. And then every tiny bend that would happen in your hips, your knees, or your ankles will steal power from the vault. So the straighter you can be, like a gymnast, the faster and higher you'll fly. So yeah, that's a... Yeah.
I mean, who did this first? Like, who was like, do you know what, I'm going to do it like that? Because that's...
It comes that like most stuff with horses, it comes from warfare.
Yeah, I suppose it would do.
So you had it from, like, an all across the world. So, like, the Russian steppes and stuff, and in Mongolia, they used to do, like, horseball-style trainings, because you need to be able to pick weapons up from the floor. You need to be able to, like, hide behind. So, like, a lot of the tricks we do where we hang off the side of the horse, they're actually from like if you went past the enemy, it sounds a bit morbid to us today, but you hang off the side of the horse so the horse can take the fire and you don't, like you don't get hit. Yeah. Or you get like the Comanche in America could hang under their horse's necks and fire the bow from under the horse's neck. So they're sort of shielded from the horse. And also if you've never seen anybody ride like that, you're not going to expect someone who's in that position to be a threat or be able to get to you. So a lot of it comes from that and then gets adapted sort of into, like they had the Circus Maximus in Rome. So you get your, that's where Roman riding comes from like things they would do to train and sort of perform with chariot horses outside of a chariot. And then all of that sort of is revived in the Victorian era with circus and stuff. And then becomes what we do today.
Yeah. Amazing. It's a bit like saddle trees.
Yes.
They came from that, didn't they?
Because to
create the stability on the horse's back so you could do your jousting and do your kind of swinging all over the place and being able to do that kind of stuff. I feel a bit stupid not knowing, but I didn't actually realize that until quite recently.
One of the the weirdest ones is when you see the Roman saddles, they have four horns and no stirrups. And they're like, they've got two horns at the front on either side of the sort of where your pommel would be that kind of wrap around your knees like two side saddle horns. And that's how
you are locked in.
Yeah, you are locked in. You're not coming out. And then like when they invented stirrups, one of my favorite little nuggets of history is that Genghis Khan, the Mongolian leader who like, you know, was so successful with the Golden Horde and all of that, took over so much of the world. He would take his men's bits away when they were on march, and they used to have to ride in light seat, stood in the stirrups, and they weren't allowed their bits, so they wouldn't egg the horses on too much, so that they would ride off the horses' backs and, wouldn't have bits, so would ride more conservatively, so that they would save the horses on march, which I think is, really cool.
Yeah, it's quite clever.
I do not know. This has gone off-piste.
It has gone off-piste. I wanted to ask you about how Wilde is fitting into all of this.
Oh, he is amazing. He is the reason we've been doing a photo shoot today.
Oh, okay. Oh, so good.
I have had a dream since the moment I knew, George and I knew we were having a baby. I've wanted to recreate the circle of life. Simba lifted up with all the horses in front. And so we have dedicated a day today. Now, I will warn everybody, there has been quite, a lot of bits stuck together with Photoshop to make this happen today. But we have managed to get the thing of 10 horses at liberty in a semicircle bowing with George and I stood in front of them, holding Wild up like the baby Simba.
Seriously. So,
yeah, really, really. We've spent
really cool.
All day. So our good friends, James and Heidi. James is like our team photographer and Heidi helps us work with the horses. She's also a nurse, so she's incredible. She's like my medic. She's been putting me back together over the last weekend. I've managed to tear a calf muscle, but we're back on the road. We're all right.
How the hell did you manage that?
Don't even know. I am getting old. I was training, stood on the team of six in the long range, jumping them. Perfect session, not a run out, not a refusal, not even a single pole in this entire jumping session. I went to dismount and walk off and was like, oh no, I'm lame. Like, crippled.
And
lame.
You proper torn a muscle as well.
Yeah, but this was a while ago. This was like two, 3 weeks ago. We've managed to strap it up and keep massaging me and treat it and I'm on there.
You've got to stay on the road, haven't you? I mean, Christ, this is like the most important time part of your year, isn't it? You know, from a financial point of view.
Yeah, I'm too busy to be on box rest.
Yeah, you can't not be doing it.
How's your season going?
I've not spoken to you for ages, have I?
No.
Ages and ages. Fine. I've got a couple of horses that have done 3-day events. I went to Ireland and did a 2-star with Little Miracle. He's little. He looks like a Connemara, but he's not. And he jumped double clear in his first 3-day event. So that was really exciting. And then the same owners, they've got a horse that I took to Bicton and did 3-day there. And he had a really annoying run out. But on the cross country, I think I sat like a lemon and and wasn't really riding. But he jumped really well in the show jumping the next day. So So that was really positive. And then I've got Buster, who's my kind of main horse and kind of best. He's going to Bramham next week to do the 4-star long. But I did have I put it on my YouTube channel. I did have a bit of a confidence crisis because I went to Thoresby in April and I didn't ride very well at all. I think I said to you actually at the time, guys, you and Jenny. I wasn't really at the races and I got very, very nervous and then I didn't ride very well at all in the cross country and I ended up pulling up because I just thought, I'm not riding positively, I'm not riding forward, so I'm just going to quit while I'm ahead. And then I went to see Chris Bartles for a lesson. I had good chats with Roz Cantor, who's a mate, but she's great. She's really good at being pragmatic and kind of like being encouraging. And I spoke to a sports psychologist as well. And also I realised that, and I know I go on about it all the time, about how tired I am, but I actually was like literally exhausted. So I kind of backed off quite a lot of stuff that I was doing, like as in I tried to do less driving, because I do a lot of driving of the horses, and I kind of backed off my teaching that the week ahead of my next big event. Yeah. And oh my God, it's amazing. It made such a difference. It made such a difference. But I think I'm now in my 40s, I have noticed I can't keep up like I used to. Like that sounds really pathetic, doesn't it? But my body does struggle now. It does struggle to kind of, because before I'd be like, yeah, I'll just do this that day and then, or I'll fit that in as well and I'll fit that in, cool. And then I'll go to that show that day, or then I'll go to another show the next day, or then I could do an event the next. And I'd fit it all in, I'd manage it and I'd be absolutely fine. I mean, I'd be a bit tired, but like, I'd be fine. Whereas now I'm like, literally, I can barely move.
Yeah. So it's, you have finally, Simon has finally learned to say no to things.
Oh, no. I'll say yes for until my dying day.
But that must be like a big, like that is a huge step for you as well, like a massive, like sort of change in your routine to help your performance. And what's insane is you wouldn't think twice about doing it for a horse.
Exactly, that's it. Like, you know, oh, he's not performing quite as how he should. And then you would, exactly, you work it out straight away. I'm not alone. I think the majority of people that do what I do are very, very similar. They all work really hard and they don't think about themselves at all. They don't really think about their nutrition. They don't think about their downtime. They don't think about their own fitness. They kind of think, oh, well, I ride as horses, so it's fine. And it's not just about that. It's also about mental fitness as well.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting speaking to the sports psychologist. I spoke to Charlie Unwin, who's quite well known in the equestrian sports psychology field world. Yeah, it was really interesting speaking to him, and he came up with a few kind of suggestions, and we like looked back on previous experiences when it had gone really well, and my mindset like was just so much better the next time I came out, so much better. I was just confident, positive, whereas the time before I was like, oh, you know what? I'm not good at this, which is bullshit.
But do you ever think about like, I think about this like with myself, like, when you've had a knock of confidence and stuff, I try and think about myself as a horse. Like, so if I was schooling a horse over fences and then we were sort of trying to take them to that next level, and then maybe, you know, I, like you say, you ride crap and you hit a bad stride, or, you know, they clatter through it because of an unfortunate thing that's happened.
And that's the thing. It doesn't take much. It takes the smallest thing to make you go, oh, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be a massive disaster.
But then what I mean is, we know that with the horses, then we're like, right, we think, right, we'll lower the fence a bit, or we'll do this, or, you know, maybe even just go over a couple of poles on the floor and then we'll build back up, because we know that what we need to do is take the pressure off and rebuild the horse's confidence. And I think so often all we need to do is go, okay, I'm not a human, I'm a horse, I train horses, what would I do? Well, I'd take the pressure off, I'd try and, where could I have some easy victories? Where can I get that confidence back up? And it's learning, like you say, to be kinder to ourselves. Because I think, like I've always, you guys that event, you are insane. Not only because of the cross country and all that comes with that, but to train, eventing isn't training one sport. It's training three sports.
Mm.
And then you're still running a full yard of horses. So you're essentially a livery yard owner, a top level livery yard owner because of the care the horses need, who then finds time to train for three sports. And And then, like you say, where have you got the time to be like, oh, I'll just track my calories and just think about...
Exactly.
Like, and then when you... I know what it's like. When I got in from that 3 days at the clinic, I didn't think, oh, I'll have a kale smoothie. I'm like, get me a beer and a bun. That's what I... That's
it's
all
true,
I want.
Though. You know, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I think that, you know... And I've thought this quite a lot, more so in the last few years than previously. But like you do, I go to events pretty much every weekend, once or twice a week, and through the season. And I walk through the lorry park on a horse, or I go down to the dressage, and I'm trotting around, and my peers are all there, and they're all professionals, and they're all very, very good people, and they're very lots of very good riders, and they all look knackered. Yeah. They do all look knackered. You get the odd one that maybe doesn't, but you know everybody and everyone is, you know, whether they look it or not, that everyone is, because they've been up at 3 o'clock that morning because they've got five horses running and their first dressage test is at 8 o'clock and their last cross country is going to be at 5 o'clock that evening.
Yeah,
like that's a lot to be taking on, and it's not just, it's slightly overwhelming as well at times. Yeah. So it's really important that riders do look after themselves, and it's only the top notch ones, I think, that actually think about their nutrition and all that kind of stuff, because they've got the team behind them. The young riders that I worry about.
It's like, it's having the team, having the money. Like, and when we say money, I think people instantly go like, what do you mean, like sponsors giving you hundreds of thousands? I'm like, no, make like earning enough that, oh, I could hire someone to drive the horses so yeah. that maybe I could have a kip. Or maybe I could do my emails while they drive the horses, so then I can go to bed 2 hours earlier when I get home.
Yeah.
And
this weekend, I'm going to Little Downham Horse Trials, which is probably 2.5 hours in the lorry. And I'm going on 2 days, which I try to avoid if I can, but it's just fallen like that. So I'm going tomorrow, and then I'll drive back and then pick up the horses for Sunday, and then I'll drive back again. So that'll be... That's like 5 hours of driving. That's 10 hours of driving altogether. And then I'm expecting to be able to ride well. So this afternoon I actually have organised for somebody to drive for me, which is like, and I'm saying things like, oh, God, just such a waste of money. But it's not a waste of money. Like, it's important.
Yeah, because if you're not doing it, and I have these same conversations with myself about my performances, and then sometimes you're like, am I being a bit lazy, or am I being a bit of a princess about something?
Do you find that all the time? I'm always like, God, I'm being really lazy. Oh, I'm really lazy. Oh, my go-to as Simon is that I'm really lazy. And yeah. if I was somebody looking into my life, I'd be like, mate, you're not even remotely lazy. Like, in fact, yeah. you're the complete opposite. But my brain tells me that I am.
I definitely find it. I definitely find it. I feel like I'm always being pulled towards stuff from my goals, and then being pushed by this kind of fear that to be a professional rider, which, like, to clarify to anyone listening, what does that mean? It means you pay your bills by riding horses.
Yeah.
It's such a privilege.
It doesn't mean you're good.
No, but you know what I mean? It doesn't mean that you don't have to be winning or at the top of your game to be a professional. You just have to, when you pay that rent or mortgage at the end of the month or whatever it is, you've done it through working with the horses. And it's such a privilege to be in that position. And I think that the tide can turn so quickly. All you need is a horse to go lame. You to have an injury, to have a couple of, like, for me, like, I'm always worried. I'm like, oh, if I have a few bad shows in a run and the wrong people see it, well, I'm not getting booked. And it's, you kind of, for me personally, it's that constant fear, maybe, or nervousness, or maybe even they're the wrong words, maybe awareness,
yeah,
that it's working that hard that's got me here, and that if I don't keep 100%. That up...
And I very much, very much so. And I also think that, especially when I was younger, and I am the same now, to be fair, but like, I'd work 7 days a week, and if I wouldn't have a day off, because if I had a day off, I'd be thinking, I don't deserve success because I'm being a slacker.
Yes, and nothing can end a day off faster than deciding to have a day off while you're at home. And like, say, it's awful, isn't it? Instagram, Facebook, you go on Instagram, you're watching stories, and then you see three people that are sort of at your level that you know you're all vying for the same sort of spots, and you're like, damn it, they're training.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they're better at me next weekend, is it because I wasn't training? Is today the magic day? Like, you're always convinced that the day that you're going to take off, or the day you're going to spend with your partner or with family or whatever, that was the day where you could have the breakthrough.
The detriment of everything in your life as well, like, because I remember when I first met James, James and I have been together for nearly 11 years.
That's incredible.
I know, which is pretty good.
Well
done. Long time in gay years.
A long time. Are they longer or shorter?
And I remember saying to him, I was like, right, so if we're going to kind of like, you know, get together and what have you, there's a few things that you need to realise. The horses come first. I won't be coming to any weddings or funerals or family occasions or birthdays during the season, because that's just not how it works. And he was like, okay, fair enough. I don't think he thinks fair enough quite so much these days, but, you know, and that's it. It is like the way that we are to be successful, or at least how we think to be successful, it's to the detriment of everything else in your life. And that's really bad.
It is really bad, but then
I wouldn't have got to where I've got to without having
that. Like, and I think I'm like, you know, Van Gogh didn't go golfing.
So just going to take a quick pause in this podcast to give a huge shout out to Equestrian Bands, our wonderful advertisers. We've spoken about them so much before. By now, you should know how amazing these game-changeable, wearable therapy bands for horses, and for humans, by the way, because I've been wearing one, that help improve circulation, recovery, overall performance. They're non-invasive. You can stick them on your horses. You can get collars for your dogs. I love them. Ben's smiling. Ben's like, I want to talk now. I want to talk. I want to tell you about how much I love the bands. I love them.
Yeah, if it stands still on my yard now, it's got bands on. I've gone bands crazy. Like, on everything. So I started with one pair, and then I've just gone crazy. Like, for everything. Like, I've got one of my older boys. He was a weaver when we got him in his stable. And so he's completely gets arthritis and stuff in his coughing joints from weaving before we got him. And just putting the bands on, just massive difference in his work and his enthusiasm for work and just how he's moving and everything. And then we've got a couple of big heavy draft horses that we use for the film work, for carriage pulling and stuff. And especially in this time of year when they're not out 24/7, they can get swellings up, you know, in their legs and in their sheaths and stuff, the way those older horses do. And we just pop the bands on the back legs and the swelling's gone right down. I am a full convert. I've even, like you were saying, Jenny, on humans, that even on my wife, as she's healing from her C-section. So yeah, they're if it stands still in our home now, it's got streams on.
Well, because we love our wonderful listeners as well, we got the team at Extremes to give us a discount code so you guys can enjoy them as well. So make sure you go and check them out and put SHUTUP10 in the offer bit at the checkout. But honestly, we love them, and I'm sure you guys will too.
We have an amazing guest with us this evening. We have the wonderful Nina Barber to talk about all sorts, and especially, it's one of my favourite shows of the year, not only because the arena has a moat. I think from now on, once you've performed in an arena with a moat, how do you go back? And it's the incredible Bolesworth. It's one of my favourite shows of the year, not just for the horses, but also the nightlife. Yeah, Nina, how are you?
I am very good. I'm actually on a transition between a fitness test and a hen do this evening.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Those are completely contrasting things.
Yeah,
yeah, they don't live together.
Or is it a fitness test for drinking?
Whoa, I think one will blend into the other.
Oh my goodness. I think I've even reached the point in my life now where whenever I get invited on a stag do, I'm like, someone book me for something else. I can't live with having a clouded head and grey skin for a week.
Yeah, the thought of a day at the races followed by a night in Manchester tomorrow, it's just tiring thinking about it, really.
I don't know, actually. I've also got a little bit of the world's smallest violin for you there. That sounds like...
That's true. That's very true. We
literally, just before you came on, we were just talking about how we avoid doing things. In order to be successful, we've always thought that you have to never take time off ever. So like, for Ben to go off and do a stag do or end a stag do, that would be, that's a definite no-no, isn't it? Because, you know, that means that you're not working hard enough.
I don't know. I gave up not doing things a long time ago.
Yeah, see, Nina is on the right track with
it
that
comes,
one.
It comes with
not.
Age. Yeah, you just realise that you actually have to do everything. And then crash every now and again.
And crash.
So, Nina, tell us a little bit about, so where Bolesworth. I mean, I'm sure everyone that's listening knows what Bolesworth is, but where did it come from? Why did you decide to set it up in the first place?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we decided to set it up in the first place because it's an amazing place here. And I was sort of eventing at the time and starting to do a bit of show jumping. And I mean, the place kind of lends itself. And we just thought, right, we've got a lovely field with a view in the background. Let's.
So was there nothing there before?
Nothing there before. It was always a very private place. And it just seemed a shame not to kind of open the gates up and do something cool. So we, as you know, we started a long time ago. It was back in 2008, 2009. And we were on a field that every year we would water it diligently so the ground was perfect. And every year it would piss it down with rain.
It'd be a bog.
Really muddy field. We'd still have a lovely time. I mean, I have memories of a cancelled day when Matthew Boddy was entertaining us in fishnets and we were doing bingo. But that was the early days. And then, you know, after a few years of this, we thought, right, okay, if we want to move forward with this, and the ambition was always to do something big, to go international, we were going to have to invest, build a few sand pits, and a few years later, here we are, basically.
I mean, it's turned into the most spectacular show. Like, it's just, it's kind of like, what's the word? Takes your breath away.
Well,
looking at it.
I mean, again, when the sun shines, we think it's pretty special. And it's different. There's a real intimate feeling about it. I think it's always been a family affair. We're a small team here at Bolesworth. Everybody puts their heart and soul into it. And I think, I hope it feels like that for the people that come and visit and they feel sort of part of something really special. And there's always highs and lows that we always seem to have, you know, small hurricanes and heat waves and everything in between. But we have a great time. And, you know, what's been so lovely over the last few years is we've had the support from Sami, Sheikh and Fatima, the team from Al Sharar, who've just really helped us pick ourselves up after COVID and go back to where we started our international shows. You know, this year we're picking back up to 3 and 4 star level. Which is serious stuff. You know, we've got £500,000 of prize money on the table. And so exciting because we're just starting to see a few people coming back, crossing the water from mainland Europe. And that's, you know, that was the sad thing about Brexit, that it sort of killed that overnight. And it's taken quite a lot to bring it back to this point and just see a few people starting to come back, which is amazing. It's exciting times. It's intense. It's intense in this last month leading up to it, but we kind of live off adrenaline for a while.
And you say, so, because I've also thought Nina Barber is the driving force behind all of this, but when you were just talking about that then, you were saying we. Who are your right-hand people?
Well, I think it starts with...
Or is it a one-man band?
It's
a one-woman band.
I'm the one that kind of rushes around annoying people and yeah, you know, coming up with ideas that make everybody else's life difficult. I would say Mel, who's in our office doing partnerships and hospitality and everything like that. She's sort of my right-hand man because she's been here the longest. She's been here for the last at least 10 years of what we've been doing.
So she can literally read you like a book, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. So we sort of, I think over the years we've found new gears and new stamina and we sort of plough through. And then we've got some, you know, we've got a small team, but a great team around us. And it's, you know, it's really grown up in the last few years, or at least I hope it has. It feels like it has.
I want to say personally, from having been there with you guys for the last 2 years, it has run like a well-oiled machine. Like any time any of us with our horses, with anything to do with the performances, to do with the arena, anything, you go to a member of your team and say, we need X. And they've got you it before you've had time to wait. So
well, we instill a can-do attitude. And I think what drives me mad about going places is other, you know, other places. And I always am very critical, you know, go to events around the world and just try and pick things up. But I like the energy to keep going and one thing to flow into another thing. And, you know, not to have great lulls where everything's flat and the energy drops. So, and we, you know, again, when we did Liverpool, that was very much sort of front of mind that we wanted to keep the production going, keep everybody engaged. And everybody's got really good at picking that up. And I think, you know, again, the team of officials we have, the commentary team, we're starting to really, you know, develop that team, and they work with us and they sort of pick up our rhythm. And that, you know, I'm glad it shows that it's like a swan most of the time, but with those legs way underneath.
And with you're saying you go to shows and things with your, how's it with your horses? Are you doing much jumping now, or are you focusing more on this?
Yeah, I'm still very much into jumping. Well, especially this year, the fitness test I was doing is because I'm on the short list to hopefully go and do the Magnolia Cup at the end of July.
That's exciting.
I was going to say, we'd heard that you'd traded show jumping for
Well, I've been doing a lot of going up Manor House's Gallop, which is sort of timed with one of my horses being injured, but I've got a lovely grey horse, Culture Candela, and she's still, you know, jumping 140s, 145s on a very good day. I've just got a new horse, actually, which is very exciting, a seven-year-old. So I'm still clinging on to that amateur.
Still hungry to be successful and win in your own jumping, right?
Still hungry to keep improving and be better. And, you know, whatever happens with this race, it's, you know, the fitness test that you have to do is the jockey fitness test. And what it's shown to me is actually, even at my ripe old age, you can actually go out there, get fitter and be better. And I think, you know, it's easy to sort of get to a stage and, you know, hit a plateau and just think, well, but actually, and if I can, believe me, if I can get to the point, which I did today, and I nailed a 4-minute plank, which is, for me, pretty impressive.
That's impressive.
Anyone can. Yes.
And what's the idea behind the Magnolia Cup? Is this to make as much money as possible for charity, or how does it work?
Exactly that. So it's part of Goodwood's massive fundraising effort and this year they're supporting a charity called Project Lahar, which is part of the King's Trust, the International King's Trust, and raising money for young women in India to basically get on into the economy, doing productive things bringing an income in for their families. So it's an incredible cause.
So where can people go and donate?
Well, as soon as we've got the green light on Monday, then I'll be sharing it far and wide, and please donate.
if you can share it with us, then we can share it for you as well. So we can.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, it's an amazing cause. So that would be brilliant.
Because I think, especially like you say, I've worked out in India and stuff, and it's, you know, it's an incredible country with some incredible places, but just like we have in our country, there are bits that could, you know, do with some help. And I think that is an amazing charity and an amazing mission to get behind. Did you think about that when you were 3 minutes, 4 seconds into that plank and those things like that, when you're thinking, why am I doing this to myself? Is that a motivation for you?
Oh, 100%. We had a really inspirational launch day at Goodwood the other day, and some of the girls that had done the race before were talking to us, and, you know, and some amazing stories of, you know, people that have come through their Dare to Dream Academy, which is, you know, basically girls that have had absolutely no opportunity to ride. They, you know, bring them in and take them through the racing school journey. And, you know, one of the girls won the race a couple of years ago. And you sort of think, gosh, you know, our problems are first world problems. And like you say, at 3.5 minutes thinking my shoulder's about to fall off, that's exactly what you think. And you think, actually, this is, what an incredible opportunity to have the, you know, the chance to potentially go and race at Goodwood on one of their main festival days. And B, yeah, just, it's sort of a sort of spotlight on how fortunate we are to.
Yeah, it's proper eye-opening stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Going back to Bolesworth, so you've got £500,000 worth of prize money this time. It's incredible. I can't think that you'd be thinking how you're going to improve it more. How are you going to improve Bolesworth now? Like, have you got plans for more things?
This is one of my ideas that has caused monumental grief sorting out. But we've got a new theme this year and the rest of the show, which is horsepower. So obviously we have the horsepower, but we're bringing in supercars and super trucks.
Amazing.
So, like,
can I just say, for Bolesworth, anyone who hasn't seen, if you go on the Bolesworth socials, there is some epic videos coming out in this theme of horsepower with the horses and the supercars.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun doing that. And so first of all, we thought supercars, which is pretty obvious, you know, supercars kind of synergy with the horse owning audience and
horsepower.
And then I thought, actually, I've got a friend who runs a truck wash up the road from here, big business. And I was talking to her one day and I was like, trucks, super trucks, like they take these truck companies, and we know lots of them. There are lots of them connected to our industry, the Malcolm Group, Stobart's, Jenkinson's, and they all take their special trucks to truck shows of a weekend. So I thought, actually, how cool would that be? Let's have a super truck zone too. So
so where's all that going?
So we're going to put it...
Exactly.
This is where the grief comes in. No, we're putting it where the road goes through the site, the other side of the road, between the road and the lake that sits there. So we're going to have super trucks on one side, super cars on the other, and the odd boat, motorbike. Ideally, hopefully, we're hoping to get a helicopter in between, just to sort of, because I feel like this has legs. I don't feel like there's anybody in the world actually that's running an event where they have amazing horses, really cool supercars, and beautiful trucks all in one place. So I'm labelling it a world first.
Well, it sounds like a world first to me, to be fair, and it sounds really exciting.
It'll be fun.
Because you've got the Adventures Challenge again this time.
Oh, sadly not. Sadly,
no. See, I loved that class. I couldn't go last time because I was climbing Mont Blanc. But
had to tighten the schedule up a bit. I mean, it was just the thing that had to go this year. But you'll just have to come to the party instead.
The party is something else. Like pre-sons night, then into I think that's one of the things that I find the most incredible. It's not only do you clearly run a spectacular event, you could run a spectacular nightclub going off how the evening there goes.
Well, it's inspired by my trainer. Every now and again, I have some lessons from Edu Alvarez's dad, Luis. And I don't know if you know him, but he went to the Olympics 5 times in both show jumping and eventing. And he proudly tells everybody that at the start of his career, in his sort of 30s and 40s, he ran one of Madrid's leading discotheques. So he managed to do that and nail it at the Olympics.
And that as well. That's pretty impressive.
Because it's more like, when we've been, the bands that you have and the singers that you have on stage, you know, this isn't just some posh lights and someone stood playing songs, you know, like out of a one DJ playing music. It is an incredible event. I would go, if you don't even like horses, just go to Bolesworth for the nightlife.
Come and have fun. I mean, at the end of the day, life's tough enough and serious enough in lots of different directions. And that's another thing. You know, you go to some of these events and they're not overly friendly and people kind of keep themselves to themselves. And for me, that's one of our USPs. We want to get people to relax. We want to actually get people talking to each other. And from our partnerships point of view, it's actually about connecting people. It's about people spending enough time actually enjoying themselves and connecting to other people in a relaxed way after a few drinks, if that's your thing. And you know, that's where kind of proper relationships form at the end of the day. And that's where last year when we did the 2 weeks together, it was really, really noticeable that everybody arrived, and because they have 2 weeks, 2 weekends, everybody kind of took a deep breath and took the pressure off themselves a little bit. Because, you know, this was, you know, the warm up to next week. And it really worked from that side of things. So, you know, I'm hoping that's going to be the same this year. And it's tough doing the 2 weeks. It's like back to the stamina thing. It's quite a long time to keep going by night and by day. But it's unique in this country, and it worked.
And I think the beauty of like what you've described and what's happening, like there is something there for everyone. Literally, there's something there for everyone. Like,
yeah.
Whether you're into cars, into trucks, into horses, into music, or but like there's so much going on. There's got to be something there that, you know, like if I was to go with my partner James, like he's not interested in, well, he kind of says he's interested in horses, but he's really not. But like there's, you know, there's something for him there, like, which, so he's got no excuses.
Yeah, well, that was the idea, because we've struggled for years, like with it slightly feeling like a bit of an event of two halves. And then I just thought, actually, no, this, like you say, this works, because, you know, the dads, the boyfriends, the brothers, you know, get dragged along to see the horses. And actually, this ticks the box for everybody. So there's really something for everybody to look at. And everybody loves cars. You know, it's not going to be an event for car nuts, but there's going to be some pretty cool cars there. You know, there's going to be millions of pounds worth of cars there. So
I'm not a car person at all, but even my head's been turned by some of the supercars you've been teasing us with so far. What are they? I'm sure this is logistically impossible, but does this mean that we could see a supercar in the Ride and Drive?
No.
Ah,
that was very quick.
No,
that is one of the best events. Please tell me you're still doing that now. I've said
two of them, but I mean, you clearly haven't met enough supercar owners, quite understandably. They're quite precious about their cars.
Well, I can understand that.
And so, some of the drivers in the Ride and Drive, I mean, they do go pretty crazy, don't they? And they don't really care because it's not their car.
Exactly.
Is the inspiration behind the Ride and Drive something like what you were saying? Like, that is a class where it doesn't matter if, say, you've got a couple watching and one half's horse mad and one half's petrol head. It's a cracking little event.
Exactly.
It's a wonderful.
And it's just a really great chance to get people, you know, maybe our partners or celebrities that happen to be on site, get them involved and actually in the international competition. And it just brings that kind of added element, both from the participation side. And like you say, you don't need to be an expert to watch it. That, the puissance, they're just great classes for viewing.
Yeah.
So just lightens it of an evening.
No,
Nina, we, on this podcast, every time we have to talk about what's annoyed us this week.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
So just have a think about what annoys you this week.
In a world...
Share it with the group.
In a world where podcasts are full of people with mindfulness and positivity.
Yeah. Oh, God.
We hang out with equestrians. We know the deep
down. I didn't realise this was going to be like an outlet for my anger and frustration of the last week.
Yeah, absolutely.
How long have we got?
Mine's not too bad. I'll go first.
You go first.
Okay, you go first, Ben.
People that look after horses that say things like, I saw how some horses had been mucked out. I'm not saying where. And I was like, oh, why have you done the beds like that? Not how they're normally done. They, you know. Oh, because it makes them easier to muck out. And I just wanted to scream because I was like, it should make it more comfortable for that and horse. That's what it should be doing. We shouldn't be doing jobs with a spirit of it's easier to muck out. Yeah, do you know what's easier to muck out in a shavings bed? If you don't give it any hay or haylage, because it can't trash it in the bed. But you can't, like, yeah, so there's my what's annoyed me this week. Like,
God, that was definitely letting out some anger there, Ben.
It's anger, and I know it comes from a good place. I know it's people just thinking they want to be more efficient. And before any of my staff come and lynch me, it was none of you. But it's just one of those things where I'm like, oh, even the sentiment of it, that is what has annoyed me this week. And roadworks when driving home late at night. And you think you're half an hour from home, and then there's a diversion.
You're definitely not.
And you are not.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
Yeah. My what's annoyed me, I feel like a real killjoy with this one. And it kind of goes back to badminton. And I didn't realise how much it annoyed, but it's annoyed me over for quite a long time, I think. But like, it's when people they're coming to the end of the cross-country course, they jump the last fence, and they start celebrating, and celebrating is fine. Like, it's great to be celebrating, but I hate it when people throw the reins at their horses and they're galloping along and they throw their arms around them and give them a hug as they're galloping along or whatever it may be. They're literally just having supported the horse for the last 12 minutes, where however long it is, like the whole way, they just suddenly just drop them in celebration. And it really annoys me. I feel really bad for it because that's when the horse needs our support the most.
Yeah, that's reminded me of, actually, I've got two angles to mine. One is that really, really, really irritating post that popped up on Facebook after badminton of the horses without top lines.
Oh, yes, saw that.
I mean, that was, you know, you're looking at the marathon runners or whatever you call it of our sport, looked after within an inch of their best interests. And that annoyed me, the stupid comments about that.
Can I say, I fully agree with you on that. Like Kipchoge, who ran like the sub 2-hour marathon and all of that, those top endurance athletes, they don't look like Mr. Olympia.
No.
You know, there's a completely different. And I agree with you massively on this one, because it's like, do you think that a horse that was malnourished with no strength could even get round that course?
Or even navigate the dressage test? It just wouldn't happen, would it?
So I fully agree with you on that.
That was annoying. My other...
The other thing with that annoys me with it is that... So these people are putting these posts up because they're trying to do it from the right place, potentially, because they're thinking of welfare, horses, all that kind of stuff. But as a general rule, the people that are, the posts that I've seen, they're people that are promoting their own products, whether it be saddles or whether it be there's one of the posts was somebody that basically sells them, they've got a subscription to like about best way of looking after horses. So it's like, it's not actually about that, it's about promoting themselves, which I find really frustrating. Mm-hmm. With it as well.
My other real irritation this week was I was in Portugal for a couple of days with William, who's my 4-year-old, and we'd gone somewhere in an Uber, and we were in this villa at the top of a very steep hill, but I'd not put the end destination in right, and so we got to the bottom of said very steep hill, and the Uber driver, the nasty Portuguese Uber driver, point blank refused to take his car up there because he said he wasn't assured if he drove into the side of the road, and deposited us in 35 degrees to have to walk up this half a mile hill, me carrying William because William was having a tantrum. So that really annoyed me.
That
is very annoying.
That is really annoying.
Again, a first world problem, but it annoyed me.
No, I think that is, having to carry a 4-year-old up a giant hill in 35-degree heat is a real problem.
It was real, but I mean, luckily, I can do a 4-minute plank, so I can carry my 4-year-old up a hill. But that wasn't the point. The point was the principal at the bottom of the hill. So
I have to say, can I change mine? Now, you've jogged me with this. So my wife, George, and I have just had our first child. We've got our son. He's 4 months old. Oh. Little baby Wild. And because George has, like, bless her, because she's been grounded while pregnant for so long, she's now got two beautiful warm blood youngsters that she's bringing on, as well as her little Spanish dressage ponies. And so I try and make sure that I look after Wild so that she can get her time riding the same way that she looks after him, so I can get my time riding. I'm not going to lie, I definitely get a lot more time riding. I need to get better at that. But here's the thing that's annoyed me. The sexism I get when I'm looking after him. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, we don't live in an equal world yet. It's crazy, isn't it?
Like, 3 times I've taken him to the doctors to get his jabs, and the first thing they say to me when I walk in isn't hello, it's, oh, where's his mum?
Yeah. That's terrible.
See, it's if Jenny was here, she would be definitely
ballistic.
Going off on one about this one, because she gets so cross when Gregor looks after the kids, and people go, "Oh my god, isn't Gregor so good looking after the kids?" And she's like, "That's exactly what you should be doing."
I wouldn't mind that. I've had the opposite. I was in Tesco with him the other day in my little satchel, rucksack, papoose thing. I don't know what you call it. I love it. I just kiss his head. It's great. He's here, just like a little baby monkey. And there's two ladies behind me, and they obviously thought I couldn't hear them. Were like, "Oh, isn't it awful? Like seeing a man like that. I wouldn't trust a man like out with
really?
A baby like
That's
that."
That's terrible.
And I was like,
"Are you for real?"
Yeah, I'm genuinely serious.
Where
I nearly turned round. But then I thought, this is my time to stand up and be like, "Hey, he's my son as well. I look after him. But then he got a little bit restless, and my ticking time bomb of how quickly I needed to get around Tesco's before this baby kicked off was gone. So I had to keep moving. But yeah, that has annoyed me.
A star for you. That's all I can say.
He has two parents. We're both capable of looking after him. Yes, my wife is probably more capable than I am, but I do my best, and he always comes home alive and healthy. So
I'm trying.
Yeah, I'm very trying. But
you're doing well.
Yeah, so having just had a baby, I feel for you carrying a four-year-old up a hill.
There you go. A tantruming one as well, which you'll get when yours gets to 4 years old.
Yeah, this is it. My argument at the moment with George is that who needs a pushchair when you can have a Shetland? Come on.
Everything
will be fine. Oh, well, this has been absolutely amazing. Nina, is there anything else you would like to say about Bolesworth? I mean, I've gone on for ages. If you've not been, guys, go. I think it's brilliant. One last thing I'd love to say is riding down that tunnel under the bridge. There's something
really cool, isn't it?
Special about it.
All I can say is absolutely, like you say, make the drive up to Cheshire, get the train, helicopter, however you choose to travel, and just come and have a good time with us.
Yeah. It's not like any other event that's on in this country, I don't believe. I think it's...
Thank you.
It's really, really...
It's absolutely spectacular. It's definitely worth a visit.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, guys. And I hope we will see you one night for a big party. I mean, there'll be a creche somewhere around and some fair rides that you can...
Thing you hear, I've got the papoose.
Well, there you go.
It's fine.
Wild's coming too.
You'll be that Wild's dad coming. With the child in headphones that everyone will tut at.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that leaves us with just one more thing to say, and that is... Shut up and ride.